Pastor Mark here. It is so good to be with you today on our podcast of our worship service. If you're a member of our church, welcome. We love you. We are praying for you and we miss you. If you're a guest with us today, welcome. We're glad that you're here. We hope that our podcast is going to be a blessing to you. Just so that we can prepare you, there's a few things we want you to be aware of. Number one, the whole service today is roughly 30 minutes. There'll be two songs at the beginning. We hope that you'll sing along with the songs. Then there'll be a 20-minute sermon. And after the 20-minute sermon, there'll be some announcements to keep you connected with church life during this time. Secondly, what we want you to be aware of is just remove all distractions that might be around you. Since this is a 30-minute block, go ahead and carve out that time. If the regular worship service time doesn't work for you, pick another time and a place where you, your family, your loved ones, or just yourself will sit down and live stream this podcast. We hope that you'll remove any distractions that are around you, that you'll open with a word of prayer with your group or with yourself. Pray that the Lord would open your eyes, that He would use the scripture to strengthen you and sanctify you through this time and through the preaching of the word. And lastly, get your Bibles out. Open them to the passage. Take notes. Read along. Treat it as a serious time. We think that if you do these things, it'll surely be a blessing to you. We're looking forward to the day when we can all be back together in person. But until then, we love you. We're praying for you. God bless you. Well, hello, church family. Pastor Mark here. I have missed you. I miss gathering together. But we can still gather wherever we are around the Word of God. So take your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is where we're going to be. For the next 3 weeks, Lord willing, if this corona pandemic continues, I am going to be preaching over the life of Noah and the flood. And there's three sermons that we're going to be talking about over the life of Noah and the flood over these next 3 weeks. The first one is we're going to be talking about look to the grace of God. That's what we're going to be looking at in just a minute. The second is seek the presence of God. And the third is display the truth of God. You know, Noah, if you think about it, is a perfect example for the days we're living in. He faced an incredible disaster. One worse than we're facing. He faced lonely times on an ark for 120 days. He faced a lot of rain. We've had our fair share of that, I'd say. He faced a lot of change, a lot of worry, a lot of fear perhaps in his surroundings, in his world, in what he knew God was doing. But we're told that Noah had the grace of God. So today, I just want to share with you how we, like Noah, need to continually look to the grace of God no matter what circumstance or what issue we find ourselves in. Now, we are in some challenging times, no doubt. And they are challenging. I would say they're interesting. I don't know that we can label them difficult. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. My grandparents, when they were living through the Great Depression and World War II, they had to ration their rubber on their tires. They couldn't travel much. They had to ration flour. They had to ration gasoline. And not to be too inappropriate, but toilet paper wasn't even really a thing back then. My dad told me many times growing up in the Depression in the woods of Mississippi that it was very common for them to use all kinds of things, whether it was the Sears Roebuck catalog or leaves, and that was just the way it was. You know, our grandparents, my dad, who is 82, lived through days like that, and it was normal. All that we're having to do right now is sit on our couch and stay home. So you know what I'd say? It's an interesting time. It's a challenging time, but it's not yet a difficult time. So we need to always keep the right perspective. But Noah was truly a person who lived in difficult times. His was not just sitting on the couch, and I don't mean to minimize where we are, but his was much more than a quarantine. His was the whole culture around him falling apart. Just notice, if you will, two verses in Genesis chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 13. They show us the world that Noah was living in and the issues that Noah was facing, what God was doing. Verse 7, "So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I'm sorry that I've made them." Boy, could you imagine if God said that to you like he said it to Noah? How challenging that would be, how discouraging that might be, that God just told you he's blotting everything out around you because of sin that is so rampant in the world and because of the wickedness of man that was so prevalent. Notice verse 13. "And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Now, friends, I think you have to agree that would have been an incredible challenge. That would have been a difficult time to live in, live through, and trust God through. But you know what we're told in the midst of those two verses I just read? As difficult as those times were, Noah was a man who looked to the grace of God. He had the grace of God on him, and he looked and lived in the grace of God. And that's what I think we need to be challenged to do during these days as well. We need to look to the grace of God no matter what we're facing, no matter how discouraged we are, no matter how difficult we think our circumstances. God is the source of our strength. So let's talk about what it means to look to the grace of God. First of all, let's talk about what it meant in the life of Noah. He was a man of grace. Now, what we mean by that, Noah did not inherently have grace in and of himself. Grace is God's goodness, God's favor bestowed, given. You don't have it, you don't earn it. If you had it to begin with, or if you earned it, it would not be grace. But notice what the scripture says, how it puts it. You always have to get this in the right order. Verse 8 of Genesis 6, "But Noah found favor." You see that word found? Noah didn't have it, he found it. He found it because God gave it to him. Notice Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah didn't find favor in himself. He didn't find favor in his works. He didn't find favor in his good deeds. He found favor. It was given to him, and that was given to him by the grace, by the eyes of the Lord. You always have to start there when you're talking about Noah. You always have to start there when you're talking about the verses that are coming next in verse 9, because it's really tempting when we get to verse 9 and we read, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God." It's really tempting for us to think, well, see, Noah was this perfect guy. He had it all together. The righteousness and the blamelessness was inherent in him. But that's not the order that we see here in the text. The order is verse 8, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. And then verse 9 comes, because he had found grace, because he had been justified by God through God's goodness, he could be called righteous and he could be called blameless. So what does that mean? It means Noah was a man who was always looking and living on God's grace. He knew he needed it. He knew he had found it. He knew that he had not earned it. It had been given. He was a man of grace. Now, let me just explain two truths about God's grace. If you are someone who is not depending upon your own works or your own righteousness, but you're looking to God's grace, you're constantly looking to the goodness of God in your life. Well, let me tell you two things that are going to be a reality. First of all, you're going to have a personal relationship with God. And secondly, you're going to have personal care from God, a personal relationship and personal care. Let's talk about just both of those equally. Let's just kind of break them down. First of all, you're going to have a personal relationship with God. What it means to look to the grace of God is you know what? God has come to me, has graciously saved me, and I have a real living relationship with Him. So, two verses that stand out about this personal relationship with God. First of all, notice chapter 6, verse 18. Here Noah is in the midst of this disaster, and in verse 18, God says something to him that is phenomenal. It's the first time the word covenant is ever used in the Bible. Notice what God says, verse 18. I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark. You, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now, you see that in verse 18. What is a covenant? Well, normally, in ancient times, a covenant was between two people. So it was bilateral. Two people would come together, they would make an agreement, there would be stipulations, and once that agreement was ironed out, they would usually seal that covenant in some way. Today, we talk about the covenant of marriage. And we have covenants that we make maybe on legal basis. But what I want you to see here in verse 18 is God is the one who unilaterally, not bilaterally, so that means that Noah had nothing to do with establishing this covenant. God personally, intentionally came to Noah and established this covenant with him. So notice, I will, God says, verse 18, establish my covenant, my personal dealing, my personal relationship with you. And because of that, you shall come into the ark. You shall be saved. Grace will be given to you. So here Noah is, a man looking to grace. And in the midst of looking to grace, God says, you know what? We have a personal relationship, you and I. I will establish my unilateral covenant with you. Now, you and I, friend, have a personal relationship with God if we have come into the covenant that God made through Jesus Christ. Christ is the ultimate covenant, so to speak. When He died on the cross, when He shed His blood, when He lived a righteous and perfect life, He sealed salvation for all who would believe. When Jesus says it, on the cross, it is finished, the veil to the temple was torn in two, and the covenant was ratified, so to speak, with blood. And if you are in Christ Jesus, then God has made a covenant with Christ concerning you, and nothing can separate you from that covenant. Nothing can separate you from God, from that relationship with God. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. You are in a personal relationship with Him. So here's my first question as we kind of round out this first point. Are you looking to the grace of God? And when you look there, you find a personal relationship with Him. Noah had that with a covenant. We have that through Christ Jesus today. Well, secondly, not only does looking to the grace of God mean we have a personal relationship, but it goes a little bit further. Yes, we have a relationship with Almighty God, the God of the universe. But we also have His personal loving care. And you see that personal loving care being displayed to Noah and his family during this incredible, tumultuous time of the flood. Just look at chapter 7, verse 1, and notice what it says about God's personal care to Noah. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation." Now, what God is saying to Noah and what He's going to outline it in chapter 6 and chapter 7 is He's saying to Noah, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you specific details of how to build the ark. I'm going to give you specific details on what to take. I'm going to give you specific details on provision. And I'm going to tell you when to get into the ark. And I want you to go and obey me and listen to my voice because I am going to take care of you. I've seen that you're righteous, that you are obedient and you are set apart. We have this covenant. We have this personal relationship. You have my grace on you. And so because of that, I'm going to take care of you. Now, just imagine if you had heard the news, like Noah did, that the end of the world, so to speak, was coming. I mean, for Noah, the world that he lived in, the world he was born in, the world that his parents and grandparents had preached in, was coming to an end. Now, it might have been an unrighteous world. It might have been full of wickedness, but no matter, That had to be a little disconcerting for Noah, don't you think? Everything you've ever known, everything you've ever understood is coming to an end, and God's going to bring it to an end. But yet God says in the midst of all that, I'm going to take care of you. Trust me. Obey me. Listen to the provision and the directions that I'm giving you. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing that you hear after this announcement, the end of the world is coming, that God says, but I am your God. I'm establishing a covenant with you, and I am with you. Well, let me just say this. That's a reality for you if you are a believer. Did you know that? That's a reality for me and you if we are in Christ. We have a personal relationship with God, just like Noah did, and we have the provision of God. He's going to take care of us, just like he took care of Noah. Now, think about that for just a moment. Here we are in the midst of this pandemic, and it's easy for us to become fearful, become worried, become full of anxiety and frustration because everything we've known is changing, at least for now, we hope, right? And our day-to-day routine is ending. That can be good, that can be bad. And so it's really disconcerting for us. And it's tempting for us to give in to fear, and yet the Lord has said, look, if we have a personal relationship, you don't have anything to worry about. I will give you personal care. Now, do you believe that? Well, let me just challenge you in these days that we're in to look to the grace of God. If God has given you favor, given you grace, if you found grace in the eyes of God, if God's covenant through Jesus Christ has been given to you, then rest assured, friend, you not only have eternity with God, you have today with God. You not only have that personal relationship with the God of the universe, you have that personal care, and He is going to get us through these days. So let's make a little application on this, okay? And then we'll end. You know, to understand that God is going to take care of us, there's some things that we need to do to cultivate that in our heart, to strengthen that in our mind. Take some Psalms, for example. Memorize them during this time that you're just sitting at home quarantined. You know, you have extra time now. Most of us, not all of us, but most of us may have extra time. Well, okay, take that time and memorize some Psalms and let that strengthen your faith that God cares for you and knows you, no matter where you are and what you're going through. Not only that, pray the Psalms. Maybe take, you know, some scripture and begin praying scripture back to God, quoting His promises to Him. Another thing you could do is just simply read them. But I just want to make a challenge to you, the church. We need to find hope in God's Word and know that no matter what happens around us, He is going to take care of us. His presence is with us. I'm going to give you a psalm as we end today, Psalm 91. And this is my challenge to you as you just think over this sermon in Genesis 6. Noah found grace. God said, I will establish my covenant with you. God said, for I have seen that you are righteous. I mean, you just see personal relationship, personal care all over that. I want to take you to Psalm 91. So take your Bibles right now. This is how we're going to end this sermon. Go to Psalm 91. So if you're looking for a psalm to read this week together, if you're looking for a psalm to memorize, if you're looking for a psalm of comfort, this is a really good one right here for you. It's so incredible because this psalm almost is like it's speaking to our current crisis and our current situation. Psalm 91, just 16 verses. Let me end by reading it to you. It says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Wow, isn't that very relevant? Verse 4, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Verse 6, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. You see that in verse 10? Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You'll tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. When I think about that psalm, I think, what a fitting psalm. That just kind of encapsulates where Noah was right before this horrible disaster called the flood was coming upon him. He was looking to the grace of God, trusting in the God who said, I am your shelter, I am your wings, I will take care of you, I will keep you safe. So, beloved, let me just encourage you. Look to the grace of God. That is a great way to know how to respond in difficult times. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this online service at Celtis this morning. Though we're saddened by the fact that we can't meet together in person with you as a body of Christ this week, we are thankful that God has given us the technology to be able to worship together online. We do want to encourage you in a couple of things. Let me first encourage you to continue to support the ministries of our church. Now, many have asked us how they can do this. Well, there are several ways to do this. The easiest way is to give online through our church app. For more information on how to do that, go to celtis.org/online-giving. celtis.org/online-giving. You can even mail your offering in, and we'll give you that address later. You can even drop it by the church office Monday through Thursday from 9 to noon, if that's still possible. Well, another way to encourage you, if you have any questions about what the church is doing or what we can do during the coronavirus pandemic, go to celtis.org/coronavirus. We're going to put all of our announcements that you need during this time on that page of our website. In fact, if you have further questions, you can even email us at info@celtis.org, info@KELTYS.org, and we'll respond to that as quickly as possible. One final announcement of encouragement for you. As of right now, our women's conference, which is scheduled in April, is still on schedule. Now, if this changes, we will let you know. We'll post it on the website we've mentioned of our the page of our website. We'll post it there. We'll post it on Facebook, everywhere we can think of. And so we'll get that word out. But for now, we hope you plan to attend. Go to celtis.org/womensconference to register. Well, everything I've mentioned, all of the links, all of the website pages, contacts for email, even the church address and phone number will be listed below in the description of this video. Once again, let me thank you for joining us this morning here at Celtis.